a couple of years ago, people on retreats, or people who were doing retreats with me, began to seriously question why I wasn't teaching metta or loving kindness in the afternoon, but was always leaving it for Kamala to do. And I don't think people were questioning whether I actually experienced loving kindness, but were just wondering why I wasn't teaching it. And so the in the evolution of that initial whinging to a dialogue, I offered my loving kindness instruction for those who were there at the retreat. And I said, look, you know, loving kindness is all about having loving thoughts about another person, wishing them well. I have one thing to say and one phrase from my loving kindness practice from my great Dharma mentor, Jerry Garcia. Turn on your love light and leave it on. And that didn't seem to be enough, so. I've been thinking about it for a couple of years, and when I had to come up with a topic for my weekend retreat here about a year ago, I figured if I gave myself a deadline to have to speak about love or share some Dharma perspectives on love, that if I thought about it for a year, I could probably get it together. And mostly I have. So what I decided to do is not to teach metta or loving kindness. Many of you who've been in the Dharma scene have already received Dharma instruction or metta instructions and practice and guidance, and you've read the books and you've talked to other people who are fully qualified to tell you everything they know about how to practice metta and loving kindness. And so I'm not going to be teaching that at all this weekend. What I want to teach you is how to be aware of all those things and kinds of experiences that we conventionally in our life call love. Because in the course of our Dharma practice, while we do aspire to the best within us and the nobility of, you know, metta or universal loving kindness for all beings, whether they're family or friends or difficult people that might even be enemies. And while that's noble and we can practice that, and that kind of practice is truly effective, I think all of you who have done any metta or loving kindness practice have seen how powerful it is to consistently and with sincerity and practice and developing metta, it really does work. However, in our life and in our practice of vipassana, the direction of practice is really to open to what your experience is and learn to understand it, meaning to learn to understand what in your experience leads to happiness and what leads to suffering. And so we need to also learn how to open to these experiences that conventionally are called love, or love experiences, love relationships, some of which are close to metta, many of which are not. And so really the topic of my weekend is really awareness of love with baggage. Because a lot of our love relationships come with baggage. And so rather than say, no, that's bad, that's not the best you can do, go for the best, I want to spend some time identifying different, you know, the spectrum of love relationships, and also the elements of them that are baggage that really cause challenge or difficulty or suffering of one sort or another. And it's not hard to see. You know, any of you who are in love relationships know how much fear of abandonment, jealousy, fear of loss of the partner or the love object. These are elements of love relationship. It's not love itself, but they're elements of love relationship that cause suffering. And we all have plenty of that. So to bring that whole spectrum of experiences into our awareness practice. I'm not encouraging you to go out and cultivate these kinds of love with baggage relationships, but rather just to acknowledge that they exist. Hey, they're already present in our life. Let's not just shunt them off to the side with some dharma cliche. Oh, that's attachment. That's not metta. That's, you know, that's too much lust, too much attachment, whatever. And get rid of that, and then you'll be clean, pure, better. Hello. Welcome to the real world. The way it is for me is love comes with baggage. And that's really what I want to look at. Not so much, you know, the metta part. Okay? So that's really the thought behind the topic and the practices for the weekend. Every day, we are bombarded with just an incessant stream of images of and narratives of one sort or another about love, attachment, passion, sex, romance, marriage, relationship, and everything that goes with all of that. And it's no wonder that teenagers, and in some relationships we're still teenagers at heart, teenagers and all of us are confused about, well, what is it I'm looking for, and what's life all about, and what is love, and is this that I'm feeling towards that person love or not? And what do you do with it? Or what can't you do with it? What does society say is okay? And so this is the terrain I want to bring into our awareness, because that stuff is rolling around in our psyches, either consciously or on the shadow side of our psyches, doing its malevolent work. And, you know, for all that we've lived in our life, whatever your age, we've all loved a lot. We've loved a lot of people. We have been loved by a lot of people. We know the experience of love. We know the experience of the baggage. And yet, it's still pretty mysterious how it all happens. It's pretty amazing sometimes how love can just lift you out of the groove you're in. Or the disappointment in love can sink you into a hole like no other hole you've been in when love goes bad, as it does at times. And it can be the most pleasant physical, emotional, social experience of our life, and it can contribute to and condition the most painful feelings of alienation and loneliness and self-judgment and being disconnected from love objects. It's just excruciating pain. And this is the way it is for us. And so I want to try to bring it out of the closet and kind of bring it into view so that we can acknowledge this is how it is, and we can be aware of it when it occurs and do something about it with our awareness. You know, while looking for resource material for this weekend, of course I just kind of dredged through my own heart and mind for the last year, looking at 60 years of attempting to find, get, secure, have, be, become, share, love. And also I read a few books. I came across a great quote about love. Love is a fire. And whether it's going to warm your heart or burn down your house, you just can't tell. So that's the range of terrain. Now, you know that saying, fools rush in where angels fear to tread? I feel a little bit like that, because I've offered this teachings at a couple of other places, Vancouver and in Sacramento, over the last two weekends. And in both places, it was provocative, got a lot of pushback, got a lot of feedback, some of which was helpful, some of which was personal, praise and blame. Nevertheless, this is what we're working with. So let me also just say that I don't know anything that that you don't know. It's not like I got some special angle on love and love relationships. I'm just kind of floundering around, and like the rest of you. But I do know something about awareness, and I know most of you do too. So that's really the angle. So I'm open to hearing anything that I might misrepresent from your perspective. The conclusion, or my temporary conclusion about love and its relationship, our relationship to it in life, is that for all that I know and all that I don't know, all that we know, all that we have done and haven't done, it still is pretty magical. And maybe the best way to hold it that I found is to consider it a lifelong experiment. You know, Gandhi had his experiments with truth, and I think many of us are having our experiments with love. And the jury's out. And maybe it won't be until we're ready to leave this plane that we really come to some settled understanding, a conclusion about, as some have said, it's always all about love. This whole journey that we're on as a human being, it really is all about love. Love of yourself, love of others, just accepting that this is the way it is on this plane of life. And to the extent that we can bring that understanding into our practice these 2 days, that in every moment we have the opportunity to love ourselves or not. Every moment. And to love ourselves is to be open, receptive, acknowledging, connected, intimate with ourselves, not censoring, not cut off from, not isolated, not laying some heavy trip of expectation on ourselves. And to the extent that we can have or establish and nurture that kind of relationship to ourselves, then we have something to offer others. And some would say that we don't really know ourselves until we have learned to love others. But I think from the Buddhist perspective or from the Dharma perspective, we may not really know what love is until we've learned to love ourselves. And then we have something to share in the field of love or in the range of love with others.